Welcome to episode 211 of The Numbers Game. I'm Jace. I'm here with Nick and Marty. How are we, guys?
Oh, I'm up and about, Jace. You know me. It's if there's a deal to be done, I want to be all over it. Kids good. Wife's good. Business partners are good. What can I say? Happy days. Nick, how are you?
Well, you're happy. I'm happy. So, yeah, no, I'm good. No, I go well, mate. Things are good at the moment. Just kind of ducking and weaving, waiting for a crisis, to be honest. We're due. Isn't it crazy, though? That's how we think. Geez, everything's pretty good at the moment. Start looking over your shoulder, looking under the table.
I was talking to you about that this morning. I feel like I need a crisis just to spark another level. Mm. It's like funny what we need. We're so used to being under challenge when things are going nicely, you kind of go, oh, you're just looking for that.
Yeah.
You just know business is business. There's always something around the corner.
Paranoia too.
Jace. This week's good. Jace, how's your week?
Mate, good. Yeah, look, I think there must be something in the water, something in the air. I don't know. It's just life's good, business is good, and things at the Numbers Game podcast are good. I mean, yeah, the countdown to episode 300, I've got it up on the wall.
Every week. No.
I think I'm still high off the back of the live Ep 200 from a little while back, but you know, it's you know, vibes are good. We're energized. It doesn't feel like we've done 210 episodes. It feels like, you know, this is still fresh, fun, exciting, and you know, obviously the listeners are coming back for more value from, especially, you know, Marty as the key influencer
don't
of the podcast.
Start.
So
don't start.
No. All right. I'll give you a break. you know, the views must be well on the way to a million views of your famous reel that's on Instagram, though. So, you know, that's happening.
Yeah, sure.
But focusing on, you know, the valuable content that happens here at the Numbers Game, Nick, I think we're excited to have you lead the way today.
Yeah, thanks. I thought I'd take the spotlight off Marty just for half an hour. So, Marty, I hope you don't mind.
No.
I'll make sure that I'll ask you a few questions, mate, so we'll still get our ratings up for the episode. I want to just have a chat about financial well-being, and it's a term that's, I guess, thrown around is the wrong way to describe it, but it's something we're seeing more and more now. So I thought it'd be really good to unpack what it actually means, because it can be the center of, it can be the cause of so many issues in your life if you don't have financial well-being. And I think we need to move away from the definition of financial well-being being someone who's got a lot of money or who's wealthy or doesn't have any money problems. Of course, that's where we're trying to get to, and financial freedom and whatnot. But financial well-being, when I think about it, it's more about just being across where you're at in your current situation and being comfortable with that, being happy that you've got a safety net if something goes wrong. Be happy that you're heading towards achieving a particular goal. And that word well-being isn't necessarily linked to wealthy. It's just being okay with where your finances are up to. And you know, that could be different for people depending on what they earn, where they live, their demographic, particularly their age or whatnot. So yeah, Jace, I might throw it to you. If I was to ask you to define financial well-being, how would you define it?
The word comfortable. Like, I think that's the word that comes to my mind, is that you're comfortable. You know, you've got the option to make decisions around, you know, your finances, and you've got an understanding of your finances. You know, so I think the only way to feel comfortable in anything is to have a bit of an understanding of the ins and outs of how it's made up and what the important factors are.
Good answer, Marty.
Yeah, I think for me it's having a plan that I believe in and that, you know, that I believe can work. And I think it comes back to what Jace was saying. It gives me comfort that I don't have to worry about my financial circumstances. I think that's the key. But again, if I don't know what it looks like in the future, that's where the stress arises. So for me, a plan that makes sense is really paramount for, you know, my life now and into the future.
Yeah, and look, managing for the future, you can only deal with the information that's at hand, right? So I think you also need to be, will have a level of fear is the wrong word, but you have to also be prepared, you know, for things to change, because we don't have a crystal ball. You can only deal with what you've got at the moment, or what level of knowledge you've got at the moment about what the future might looks like. But both really great answers and both spot on, really. Yeah, I would say it's about, okay, how will you manage your finances? Not so much how much money you've got in the bank, but how are you managing that? And managing means, how is that in line with your cost of living, with where you're at in life, not so much a particular figure. So a couple of things to explain that a little bit deeper. But why is it important? Well, it allows you to maintain control, or remain in control of your finances. So, you know, are you meeting your debt payments on a weekly basis or a monthly basis? Are you putting food in the, on the table? Are you paying your bills? When your rego comes up and it's, you know, $700 plus you get your insurance at the same time, generally I'm referring to your car now, which, you know, these days could be anywhere from $1,000 to $4,000 depending on what you're driving. If you're like Marty, maybe $8,000 to $10,000. So it's having control over those things. So it's having an understanding of when they're due, having an understanding of what you need to do to make sure you've got the funds to meet those payments when they come in. And then what that does is it gives you a sense of security is the wrong word, but it just releases stress. If you look at one of the biggest stresses and the biggest causes of mental health, it's a lack of financial well-being or not being able to meet general day-to-day commitments. So it's having control and understanding, okay, what's coming in, when's it due, this is the income flow for me, this is the expense flow. I know that I can handle those payments. I know what I need to put in a bills account every month to make sure that those payments can be met. I'm saving every month for my annual insurance, or I've set up an account where the annual insurance goes into, or I've got it in a diary so I know exactly when it's due. So little things like this mean you're in control of your finances. The other thing it does, and this is talking about what you mentioned, Marty, but it gives you the ability to absorb a shock. So again, you can only deal with the information you have to hand. So what is a shock for you? So Marty, a shock for you might be, you know, something, and I hate saying this, but something goes really bad with your business. Or let's say you're a business owner and you go, you know what, the worst thing that can happen with my business is I've got to take myself off the payroll for 6 months. So what does that look like? Like, that's a shock that you wouldn't be expecting, but that's a shock that could happen in your world. If Case is working, you know, and you guys have bought a house and something happens with Case's job and she can't work for 9 months, that's a shock for you, but that's something that could well and truly happen in your world. Same for me, similar kind of circumstance. So looking at the financial shocks that could occur based on your life, you know, sickness is another one, you know, that would cause time off work. Helping a family member. Geez, what if a family member needs help because they're in trouble? So think about the financial shocks that could happen in your world and have some savings or put some money aside to be able to accommodate for those. And Marty, you know, you've dealt with a lot of people over a lot of time. You've probably seen a lot of that stuff occur, and the stress it puts on people when they're not prepared for it.
Oh, 100%. And like we've talked about in previous episodes, Jace being an advisor to business owners to optimize their business, to me, a good financial planner is a mentor financially to you as a person. And I think, and I've seen it time and time again where someone unfortunately falls ill. And when they are protected, the sense of relief to know that they're okay in that situation, it's probably, you know, like you just feel like you've done an incredible job in that circumstance because it provides so much security at a time when they're most vulnerable. But other times it even, like I think from the finance side, how often people were poor at budgeting to the point where we'd just say, well, let's put some money across into the mortgage to make additional repayments to pay down debt, because they couldn't budget effectively. And then there's other people that could, that really optimize their offset accounts and pay down debt. But you would see the majority of people not doing those budgets and living day to day, having chaos spending whenever the emotional need arises. And, you know, I was one of them in my early 30s as well. You know, imagine how much I could have saved if I was a little bit more disciplined. And the great thing about a plan of attack, not only to the upside, but having a budget for now, is you make greater decisions in your day because you're excited about that plan and you know where you're heading. And once you have that as a motivator, here's an example. You might go to a great restaurant that you really like once every 3 weeks, but you won't spend crap on takeaway throughout those 3 weeks. And you're actually spending less having this remarkable experience that you really love, instead of blowing money on stuff that really doesn't make much out of your day. And they're the sort of differences that you can make personally that actually create a more enriching life, and also an expanding life into things that provide nourishment, encouragement, and enrichment. And people don't think about that all the time, but it means a lot. And why do you think a lot of divorces end up out of financial problems? And it's like, and these are the things that are not taken into account, that it has such a significant impact of your life. When you get it wrong, it can go very wrong. Yes, there can be a shock, but you can plan for these things in advance. And you got to, sometimes you got to let your ego go a little bit. You always think you're making the best decision for the household. And let me tell you, you know, if you're thinking that, you're going to blow something up somewhere. So to actually have a financial mentor almost with you along for the journey, the whole family gets involved, and it's a win-win-win, and it's really powerful. But you got to get to that point. You know, you got to get to that point to do it.
Yeah. I like how you mentioned chaotic spending, because that was actually one of my next points. You know, financial freedom gives you the ability to make purchases or choices that you desire. So, you know, I think it's almost a guilty pleasure, whether it's a handbag, whether it's a new polo, Jace, or whether it's a new car or a motorbike. I think if you've got control of your financial well-being and you're putting money aside for these things, the chaotic spending is no longer chaotic, because you've put the money away, and then it becomes more of a pleasure for the hard work that you've done versus, oh, it's all too hard, so I'm just going to spend the money anyway. So I like what you said about chaotic spending. And I think the last one, and this is what I think is the most important and that really gives you the most joy, is you're on track for your goals. So, you know, if we look at financial planning and when people come into the office, and I've spoken about this before, but the first thing we talk about, before we talk about budget or anything, what are you trying to achieve short, medium, and long term? What are you trying to achieve in the next 2 years? What are you trying to achieve in the next 5 years, and then 5 years and beyond? And if we understand what those are, then we can build plans around it, and then we can understand what those goals are, or we can make sure those goals are in line with what your current ability to earn income is, for example, and make sure they're realistic. And when you know that you're tracking towards those goals and you're doing the right things to put you on a path to achieve those goals, there's an amazing sense of achievement there, even when you're not there, even when you're only 30% there or 50 or 60% there, whatever it is. But just the fact that you've got the plan, you've got the goal set up, and you're across your finances and you have financial well-being, that gives you a big spring in your step and makes you feel really good about yourself and about life and where you're heading.
The point that you're making here is, in my mind, is you've already become the person that's going to achieve that goal. So the sense of fulfillment is now in the execution of these great plans. But you've made the adjustment to now be the person that's going to accomplish this. So like you said, it's you know, you don't eat an elephant with one bite, right? But you got to know what those bites are. Not that we should be eating elephants, I don't think, but it's but that's but it's more so in regards to It's like when you change any behavior, this can be outside of financial, you know, when you've made that decision that that's what you want to accomplish and you map out the steps, it's where it mostly falls down is people haven't mapped out enough steps. They go, I want to accomplish this. They start, they get a motive and fall back into bad habits and they stop, right? And they don't accomplish it. But when you have the plan mapped out, you can take on all of those steps and celebrate each of those steps as you achieve them. And that's pretty if you get everyone on board with that, even yourself as an individual, it's a very fulfilling thing to accomplish. Yeah.
And unfortunately, I feel like financial goals or you know, having that long-term vision of that is one of the things that falls to the end of the priorities. Like, you know, we've talked many times on the show around business goals and your business strategy, and then you've got health and fitness goals. You know, you want to run a marathon or you go to the gym. But, you know, so many people, you know, we get through all the questions when we onboard a new business owner or you guys would be onboarding mortgages and financial planning clients. But generally, the financial goals, they're not really defined. They're not really thought of. I mean, yeah, so it's hard to kind of go, I want to get there and achieve that goal when it's not defined. So I think that's, you know, it's a great one to need to know what are we tracking towards and what does success or, you know, what does it look like? And whether right or wrong, Nick, another one that kind of popped into my head as you were unpacking it, you know, I said the word financial well-being to me is, you know, to be able to feel comfortable. In lieu of maybe having, you know, the biggest emergency fund ever, there's also insurances that I know that I've got, you know, through working with you guys that I can fall back on, you know, trauma, life, TPD, income protection. You know, if there is something that goes pear-shaped, knowing that those are part of my, I guess, my financial war chest or, you know, my tool belt.
No, you spot on, because it's well-being. It's not, and as I said at the start, well-being doesn't necessarily mean I've got a certain amount of money in the bank. It's I'm across my finances and I know that I can manage them, good times and bad times. So, yeah, no, 100% that's part of it, you know.
It's almost a duty of care. Like, you're protecting your life, your lifestyle and your future, and a lot of people don't think about it in that way, but I think it's paramount that we do. And look, sometimes, you know, people always say, oh, it's never too late, but sometimes it can be as well if you think about the opportunity cost of not doing it. And I think it's really important that, you know, like I think about people my age, they think, oh, geez, I'm 52 and I've got no plan of attack. Am I short? But the thing is, once you know, you can make clear-cut decisions for what the next 10 years look like. And you hear it in business all the time. It's sometimes hard to achieve in 3 months, but it's incredible what you can achieve in 10 years. And you can make different decisions based on where you're at for the future that can get you where you want to get to. The 10, 15 years is still a long time, but if you don't take any action, you're giving up that 10 or 15 years opportunity, even when you're 30, you're 25, you're 45. So it's really, when you look at it in that light, it's amazing what can be accomplished even in 10, 15 years.
Yeah, what's that saying? That the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago and the next best day is today, or the next best time is today. So
absolutely.
Yep. Just going to say that's a good lead into the, I guess, the different stages that we think about. You know, if we're looking at, okay, financial well-being and where are you as far as your financial well-being goes. But first one is turmoil. So financial turmoil. So at this stage, you're struggling to meet debt repayments. You're stressed about money. You don't really have a good lens on cash flows in and out. And as you know, the biggest thing for me when I think about well-being is I'll just link it back to that word stress. You're stressed about money and you're not sure if there's a way forward or if you're okay, so to speak. So if you are in financial turmoil, you want to get to financial understanding, which is the next step. So, okay, I'm in turmoil, but am I really in turmoil? Have I actually sat down and had a look at this, whether you need help with this or not? Do I understand, as I said, those inflows and outflows? Is there a journey out of this, or if there's a way out of turmoil, what do I need to do? You know, do I need to earn another $10,000 a year? Do I need to get a second job and maybe do a couple of nights a week? Do I need to get rid of some subscriptions? Does my home loan need refinancing? Because that's wrong, and I need to clear some other debts up. So if you're in turmoil, the next thing for you to progress is to get into financial understanding. And once you're in financial understanding, you then get into what we call financial flourishing. And That's not, I've got $1 million in the bank, I'm flourishing. That's being on a journey to get to where you know you need to be. That's being in a position where you're not stressed about it, as I keep harping on. You've got money in the bank for a rainy day, whatever that means for you. Or you might not even have that money in the bank for a rainy day yet, but you're doing what you need to get there. And that alone will give you an immense amount of positivity and also drive to continue on the journey. This is the other thing that's really important with this. Once you start to see inroads and you get comfortable and you get to a level of financial well-being, most people we see, they get an increased drive to be better and continue to do more, because it's like anything, the fitter you are, the fitter you want to get. The fitter you are, the healthier you want to eat. Once you make that that switch and that decision, and then you start to see improvement and you start to see results from your efforts, then you actually want to put more in. I think we can all relate to that, whether it's business or health, and your finances are absolutely no different.
It's a powerful point. Yeah, very powerful point.
Yeah, kind of having just three simple steps to go, okay, where am I and what are the next steps along the way? So it's a nice way to analyze it.
Yeah, and so we actually have a little financial well-being score calculator in our office. I'm not going to tell you how we do that. It's our IP and it's high. It's like the KFC. it's like the KFC recipe, Jace. It just cannot get out. If it does, and Marty will be out for blood. So, but when we look at financial well-being and how do we calculate someone's score? So if someone comes in our business, well, we can actually say, well, you know, you're out of 100%, you're at 70 or 75% based on the way that you've answered the questions that we ask. But the things we're looking at are your age. So where are you at in life? Your incomes versus your expenses. Where are your debt levels? Link those back to your age. Do you have emergency funds put aside? And that's pretty much it. So what have we got there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there's 6 things that we ask questions around, and how you answer those questions will, I guess, give you a financial well-being score. And that's been really powerful for us, because as long as people answer those questions honestly, which most people do because it's very important and they want to make sure that they get the right answer, it gives us areas that we can work with people on to improve. And at the same time, it gives people comfort in a lot of circumstances where they think, geez, I actually am okay. You know, I was worried because, you know, I'm not driving as nice a car as the person down the road, but based on everything I'm doing for my life, I've got a really good financial well-being score. So that's been really powerful for us, and it's been something that's starting to yield some results as well.
It's nice to have a scorecard on things and, you know what your starting point is, isn't it? And then you can optimize from there. And I think, again, you know, don't be embarrassed. If it's toxic at the moment, you know, it can be turned around pretty quickly. Like, I see a lot of people that earn great money with toxic behavior. Like, over the time, you go, how the hell are these people getting into strife? And but don't be embarrassed about it, because what you said is important. It's understanding. And I guess, you know, the hard part is changing the habit, but unless you have a plan of attack and approach it head on, then you're never going to be able to change. So don't be ashamed or embarrassed. It happens, and it's about being accountable and being personally responsible and working with a professional to really set a new foundation and then striving from that foundation. And the turnaround can be very quickly happen when the habits are set, you know, in a new way. And a lot of people forget about that. So it's not what's happening now, it's what's going to happen tomorrow based upon this.
Yeah, awesome, Marty. And look, if I can just leave everyone with one thing, it's, you know, where do you start with this? And the number one thing is know your numbers. And Jace, you would see this time and time again in business when people go wrong, whether it's because of ATO issues or, you know, they don't pay wages or their business goes down the gurgler, it's because they do not know their numbers, and your household is no different. Understand your numbers. You cannot make changes and fix things or even get to anywhere near financial flourishing if you do not know your numbers and understand what is actually going on. You can't fix things when you don't know what's happening, and generally when things are difficult, people put their head in the sand and don't want to know about it. So The most important thing you can do is do a budget, have a look at your income coming in. There's so many tools online now to work this out. Work out if you can get the budget where you need to get it to. When you see the income come in and the outflows go out, can you actually make it work? Do you have levers to pull? Some people look at this stuff and go, you know what, there's actually nothing that we can save money on. Like we're actually being quite stringent in our spending. So maybe then you've got to look at further income or look at taking a second job, as harsh as that might sound. So if you don't know your numbers, you're never going to be able to fix anything. So that's where you absolutely need to start. And then from there, you can make the changes you need, whether you do that alone or with help. We're always happy to help, but most people, once they know their numbers, they know what the answer is, and they've just got to commit to a plan.
Is there somewhere they can go to get some tools for this, Nick?
Yeah, we have an awesome budget on our website, so www.innovate.com.au, and everyone will know that website. If you look at our tools, there's a budget calculator in there, which is really cool. There's a huge amount of blogs on just being better financially that people can sift through. So yeah, just head straight to our website.
And I Googled the Innovate Financial Health Score, and I rated my financial well-being. I'm pretty, it was quick and easy. I think it was 13 questions, took me the couple of minutes that I forgot that Nick and Marty were on a podcast talking to me. And, that's probably another tool that they can access through the website as well, if they want to.
We could probably put that in the show notes too, that, financial well-being calculator.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
And it is a skill. The numbers are a skill. And like you said, understanding is absolute key to getting better results.
Well, I think as well, Nick touched on it, the knowing your numbers is the most important place to start. And you've almost got to like peel back some of those layers and confront yourself or confront your situation to go, because if you're turning a blind eye or burying your head in the sand, it's where a lot of the Australian public find themselves right now, just flying blind and just hoping that it'll just miraculously get better. But it's going to be, understanding where you're at in those stages of financial well-being, and starting with step one of unpacking your numbers and go and find that budget template on the Innovate website and fill it out, and that will then empower you to start making some of your own changes to help yourself have a better future.
Absolutely.
And on that note, it's that time of the show again where I say like, rate, subscribe, go and follow us, jump onto YouTube if you haven't watched us there before. Obviously, you probably jumped on and watched the 200th episode, which is a live recording in studio, and then now you're a subscriber and you're watching everything on YouTube. But if not, thank you for listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well, or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time.
It's a numbers game. The serendipity, eh? Game over.
This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The conversations are of a general nature and do not qualify as financial or tax advice. We recommend before you make any financial decisions, you consult a licensed professional. Individuals on the podcast may hold positions in the companies discussed.